we can be here today, that we can sing the songs and listen to songs coming from the heart. We thank You that You are the Lord God Almighty. You are the Sovereign One, the Supreme One. We thank You for Christmas. We thank You for the birth of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the hypostatic union, coming to pay our sin debt in full, coming to be the example that we are to follow as Christians in Christ. I pray this morning as we are in this book of Revelation that You will enlighten us and continue to teach us and reveal to us everything You want us to know this day. And empower us with the Holy Spirit that we may live in the power of God's Word. Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for loving us the way that You do. Now give us the understanding that is needed this morning that we may make proper application of what we're about to read and about to hear. We ask this all to Your glory and all to the forming of Christ's likeness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you have your printout, you'll notice we're in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And the title is The Drama Begins. The Drama Begins. Well, let's begin with verse 1, chapter 5. Be ready to write. I, John, saw. Underline the word saw. And the word saw says, in this invisible supernatural plane. So let's put it together. John, in this invisible supernatural plane, saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written. Underline the word written. The word written is in the Greek perfect. The Greek perfect. And it means now and still is. So it is still written to this very same day, as it was back then when John saw this. I saw in this invisible supernatural plane in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written, and now still is, on the inside and on the back. Closed and sealed. Underline the word sealed. It is a Greek perfect meaning now still is sealed to this very day, with seven seals. Underline the word seven, and the word seven here refers to God's finished perfect work. So when you think about this seven sealed scroll, you think about God's finished perfect work. It is non-negotiable. It is not going to change. So we need to pay attention to what is on that scroll. Well, what is this scroll? It is the title deed. It is the title deed to planet Earth. This title deed depicts God's ownership of all creation and the progressive judgments that are about to be unleashed on planet Earth at the appropriate time that was designated by the Holy Trinity, which became a decree by Almighty God, an eternal decree that could not be changed in eternity past. Now, this title deed to planet Earth was originally given to Adam. It was originally given to Adam. Where? In the Garden of Eden, where God told Adam to subdue the earth. Now, when did Adam forfeit his right to ownership? When he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, question, was Eve tricked into eating the forbidden fruit? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I have something to read pertaining to that, how it all came about. So was Adam with Eve the whole time of her temptation? The answer is yes. God had given him the task of protecting the garden and leading his wife. And here he was standing next to Eve while the snake laid a heavy line on her. Sitting there in silence, Adam became the responder instead of the leader. And literally all hell broke loose as a result. His failure to help his wife live in obedience to God's word had tragic consequences. Now let's go back to the printout. Adam's eating the forbidden fruit was a calculated act of rebellion. He knew better. He and God had talked about this, which is why the Bible speaks of Adam's sin as that which transferred to Satan the title deed of our planet, Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Satan is referred to as the god of this world. Notice that is a little or small G-O-D. So he is a small god of this world and the prince of this world. So God's creation was plunged into sin by the sin of Adam. Now when people say, and listen closely to this one, when people say, well, if God is so good, why are there wars, cancers, floods, AIDS, depression, rape, and injustice? Well, they're blaming the wrong person. The planet God gave man was absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. So who is to blame for turning the planet over to Satan? It is man himself. And he is the reason the people to whom John was writing were watching their brothers and sisters incarcerated or fed to the lions, crucified or dipped in hot wax. This book was written not only to deal with prophecy, but primarily to deal with the questions with which John's flock wrestled and the questions with which Christians have wrestled ever since. Now, let's go to verse 2 of chapter 5. And I, John, saw. Underline the word saw. The word saw means he saw that which appears vividly and credibly to the mind. So he saw that which was very vivid to him and also was very credible to him. And I saw a strong. Underline the word strong. There are two definitions here for the word strong. The word strong refers to the importance of the mission and the importance of the moment. And what is it? Here we have the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. So what is going to be the next big event that is going to take place in the age of grace or the church age? It is going to be the rapture. And what is going to follow the rapture? It is going to be the 7-year tribulation period. And I saw a strong. All right, again, the second definition of the word strong. It means a divine might, here an angel, standing by, ready to overcome whatever seeks to block the Lord's preferred will. And I saw a strong angel. Underline the word angel. The word angel here refers to strong and designated angel that God calls on to reach the farthest limits of the universe. Now here we go. And I saw a strong angel announcing. Underline the word announcing, and it means he is announcing with conviction. He is announcing with conviction. He knows where it's coming from. He knows it is non-negotiable. He knows nobody can bring about a change here. He knows it is divinely guaranteed. He knows it is coming from God. And I saw a strong angel announcing with great conviction with a loud voice. Who? Underline the word who. Who is worthy? Well, let's answer that. Who is worthy? No angel. Who is worthy? No human being. Even is creation worthy? Not even creation can help itself. So no angel, no man, not even creation can bring about the will of Almighty God. Now, Who is worthy? Underline the word worthy. And this is an important word. You want to write the definition down. The word worthy means who has matching worth. Who has matching worth? Who can match the worth of Almighty God? Who can match the worth of God the Father? There is only one. He is referred to as the Son of God. He is referred to as the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He is referred to as the Savior of all of those that will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So who can match the worth of Almighty God? It's only one. It is Jesus Christ Himself. And I saw a strong angel announcing with a loud voice, who is worthy to match the worthiness of Almighty God, that is, having the authority and virtue to open the scroll and to break the seals. Underline the word break. The word break means release what has been held back. Now, what is on the scroll is being held back at this very moment until the divinely appointed time that was appointed in eternity past by the Holy Trinity, now a divine decree, has been held back. It will be held back until the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, and that is not going to change. Now notice number 1 under verse 2 at the bottom of the page. Notice it is who is worthy, not who is willing. I'm sure a lot were willing. I'm sure Hitler would be willing if he could. I'm sure there are many others that would love to come forth, but that's not going to happen. Top of page 2. Who is worthy to look at the Lord's plan for worldwide judgment? Here are judgments. They're going to come from God. They are divine. Again, they're non-negotiable. It is going to happen. So what does mankind need to know as a result? It needs to answer the question, have you as a man or a woman or a child, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You go back to John chapter 14, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father unless you come through the Son, who is Jesus Christ. So who is worthy to look at the Lord's plan for worldwide judgment? The only one is worthy is the one who understands these judgments that are about to happen. He is the only one who can look into the hearts of every individual, living and dead. And He knows the truth about every human being. So who is worthy to look at the Lord's plan for worldwide judgment? It is Christ Himself. Who is worthy to administer it? It is Christ Himself. Who is worthy to bring about the will of Almighty God? It has to be God Himself. It also Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at verse 3. And no one, that is, no valid example exists. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in Hades, the realm of the dead, was able to open the scroll or look into it. Underline the word look. It is in the Greek present. And it means to look with any spiritual significance, and that means spiritual understanding. When no one comes forward to reclaim earth's title deed, something happens that probably never happened before in heaven throughout all eternity past. You know what the answer is? Tears in heaven. Tears in heaven. What is about to flow? Tears are beginning to flow. Verse 4. And I began to weep. Underline the word weep. You look up this word in the Greek language, it means to weep in a very audible way. It is grieving. It is mourning, accompanied by tremendous wailing and also sobbing. This is not a tear that falls every now and then. He is upset. He's torn up. He doesn't understand what is taking place. Is there anyone who is worthy to deliver us, to what Adam's sin has plunged us in. And I began to weep greatly because no one means nothing, no one was found worthy. Underline the word worthy again. Here's a different meaning to the word worthy. Worthy in terms of how something weighs in on God's scale of truth. Most anyone would say to themselves, I believe that I am worthy to go forward and take the title deed of the earth. I have earned it. Well, put yourself on the scales of Almighty God. On the scales of Almighty God, on one side is the truth of Almighty God. So when you put yourself on one side of the scales and the truth of Almighty God is on the other side of the scale, then who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to be deserving? You can say what you want, but when you are standing beside the truth of Almighty God, then how do you stand? How do you light up? I'll tell you how. No way you and I would ever deserve what Jesus Christ Himself can do. No man is worthy. He may think he is, but standing against the truth of God, he is not. He is born a sinner. He is born into sin. He is born with an old sin nature. And the only way he can be saved is by the grace of God. It is God doing for him what he could never ever do for himself. And remembering the cross of Christ over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ voluntarily allowed himself to be placed upon the cross of Calvary and to pay your sin debt in full, lacking nothing. And I say that because there is no such thing as purgatory in the Word of the living God. There is no second chance of being saved after you die a physical death. If you're going to be saved, how is it done? According to the Bible, again, by grace, through faith are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot boast about being saved. I did not save myself. Therefore, I realize I am not worthy in any way to take what belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the printout. Look at what it says. John sobbed convulsively. John is overcome with grief when he realizes the earth would remain in Satan's grasp forever. What was one of the greatest things to happen to Adam and Eve after they sinned? They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And what took over? It was the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for kicking them out of the garden, because you know what? I was a benefit of that right there. And I still am, and you are too, and so is every child of the living God. So John sobbed convulsively. He is overcome with grief when he realizes the earth would remain in Satan's grasp forever. If we didn't have the Bible, we would not know this story and we would be devastated. Verse 5. Then one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping." Stop weeping is a Greek negated present imperative, and it means to stop immediately. Look closely. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And who is that? That is Jesus Christ, the Root of David, has overcome. Underline the word overcome. It means overcoming whatever resists the will of Almighty God. Nothing can overcome the will of Almighty God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He has triumphed. He is the winner and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. Now the year is A.D. 12. In the springtime, the Romans issued a decree declaring that the Jewish people would no longer be able to carry out capital punishment. The rabbi's response to the decree was immediate because they believed capital punishment was the cornerstone of government, as defined in the Noahic covenant. When they were denied this fundamental right of government and thereby rendered powerless as a nation, the rabbis rushed into the streets of Jerusalem, rending their clothes and smiting their breast. In fact, we are told the whole city was filled with the wailing of rabbis who understood that something terrible was happening. The scepter had departed. The authority was gone. Yet Messiah had not come, or so they thought. For on that very day, guess who was sitting in the temple in Jerusalem as a 12-year-old confounding the scribes and the thinkers of the day? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's the point. So too, how often we throw dirt in the air and wail and moan, ripping our clothes and crying, "Where are you, Lord?" when He's right in our midst, working everything out perfectly. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to begin this chapter, chapter 5, giving us further information about the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, and how all is going to play out in the 7-year tribulation period. Yes, there will be people saved. Yes, the grace of God will be alive and well and effective. And yes, Jesus Christ will give man every opportunity, even during the 7-year tribulation, to receive Jesus Christ and be saved, even though it will probably cost you your life at that time. We are thankful again for this book of Revelation that is so revealing about everything that we must know as human beings on planet Earth. And we are thankful that you let us know that Jesus Christ is worthy, that Jesus Christ is God, and that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full, and that Jesus Christ is going to receive the title deed of the earth. It is going to be His to take, never to give away, never to give up again. For Satan is going to be damned. He already is. He has a place where he is going to spend an eternity. It will be the living hell. And I pray what we're going to learn in this study from this moment on, that people that hear these prophecies, people that hear the word of the living God, will receive it by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the salvation of God into their life, giving them the gift of faith to go with it, that they may, by the grace of God, accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And I pray as a body of believers, a remnant of believers, that the church will continue to march forward. We will not allow COVID or anything that is going to exist to make us step backwards and to stop us in doing what Christ has called us and asked us to do. May we understand that we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have been enlightened by Him also. We have that divine persuasion to persuade us to be what God has called us to be and do what He's called us to do. I pray for this church that it will continue to be the lighthouse that it is. Help us to shine the light that Jesus is. Help us to be the witness we are called to be. And Father, may we just continue to digest the Word of God, receive it, and make application of it. We ask this for the salvation of those that are ready to come unto you, and those that do not even know it yet, but they're waiting on the hearing of the Word of the living God. Father, I thank you for the Gideons that hand out the Bibles, the Word of God. And we pray you will continue to bless them in a very special way. And I pray that you will just convict us as believers here at Hainesville Baptist Church to give and continue to give in a wonderful way, in a graceful way. Lord, money equals Bibles. Bibles equal the Word of the living God. And the Word of the living God is the saving power of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. And Father, I pray once again, from this day forward, change this church. May we be emboldened. May we be the soldiers of Christ that we are called to be, and equip us as only you can do. We ask this in Jesus' loving, heavenly, almighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Would you please stand? Yes.